Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you, Kyle, for that devotional. This evening, and thank you, Jake, for this good cold water. I don't know where he is right now, but he specifically said he got me some good, fresh, clean, cold water. So this evening, what for moon are you? Jerry asked me this afternoon, it's like, what are you preaching about this evening? I was like, well, Gary's told me that I'm not supposed to tell people what I'm preaching about. But I did say, I'll tell you one thing. I asked him, what for moon is he? But did you ever hear the phrase, be like the moon and reflect God's light? Are often his love. I might have a basketball on the floor. And I'm not sure if you guys know how the moon works or not. Okay, now the basketball, the big one, is the sun, and this is the earth. So and here's the moon, and you have four different phases of the moon. So when the moon is between the sun and the earth, us on earth do not see any moon, because there's nothing to reflect. All the reflection is on the backside. The side we see, there's no reflection. That's called the new moon. And as the moon comes around, you can start seeing a little bit when it gets straight across from the earth. You got the first quarter. This is the waxing moon. So you can start seeing a little more light, a little more light, a little more light, until it gets way over here. That is the full moon. You can see the whole moon. And as it comes over here, you start seeing less and less and less light until you come around to the new moon. So my question to you is, what for moon are you? Are you the moon, new moon, where nobody can see God's light? Are you the waxing moon, where you're starting to show God's light, people can see slivers of it, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger? Or are you the full moon, where you are shining brightly, that God can, or people can see God's light and love shining off of you? Or are you the waning moon, where you are losing that light? And then, last of all, are you a solar eclipse? Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5. God made light, and God is light. Genesis 1, 1 through 5 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Then I want to turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And also, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. John chapter 1, 1 through 9 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." So it was saying there, John was not that light, but it was God, and John was sent to point towards that light, Jesus Christ. And then the Revelations 21:23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." And also Revelations 22:5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So we can see that God made the light, and God is light. So, the new moon, there's no light. Is this you? There's no reflection, or at least not that anybody can see. We're not, if it is us, we are not reflecting God's love or light at all. Maybe it's because we don't desire him or his word. Maybe it's we're just simply in the way of God. Or maybe there's some hidden sin in our life, or something is preventing us from shining, from reflecting God's light in our lives and around us. Then John chapter 11, John chapter 11, 9 and 10 says, "Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." So we need to make sure that the light is shining off of us. Also Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So let's make sure we are not living in darkness, that the people around us have a light to see so they do not stumble. I was trying to come up with different examples, and I thought of Paul, which was Saul. Let's turn to Acts. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Starting at verse 57. "And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears." So here it's Stephen is in front of the Sanhedrin or the religious rulers, and he's getting tried. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was constraining unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. And then to chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So we can see here, Saul was not shining his light. He was very much a new moon. Nobody could see God's love or light from him. But obviously we all know that's not where the story ends, so we will come back to him later. So are you a new moon? Or are you a waxing moon? Are you starting to shine your light? Are people starting to see a change in your life? Are they starting to see a glimmer of hope, maybe? Or are they starting to see a little bit of Jesus? Does it keep getting bigger and bigger? Are we starting to get out of the way for God to work? Maybe we're starting to see our own wrongs, our own personal grievances that we need to see change. Maybe we repented of some things and make things right. Is God starting to shine in my life or in your life? Are you being that moon? Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, 1 through 3 says, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Then also, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifested by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Here's saying we were in darkness, but we need to come in that light. And we are in that light. So come out of that darkness and come into that light that people can see it. And also 1 Peter 2:9. Again saying, calling us out of that darkness into that light. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So God does not want us to be a new moon. He actually wants us to be a full moon. But if you're a waxing moon, you're headed in the right direction. And I thought for an example of David. So let's turn to 1 Samuel. First Samuel 16. And I'm not saying David was being a new moon or he wasn't reflecting God's light before this, but this is, yeah, basically when David starts, or you start hearing about him or coming in, or stories, or where you start hearing about him. 1 Samuel 16, 11 through 13. "And Samuel said," did I say Samuel? I meant David. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and of goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Then also chapter 17, starting at verse 40. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had ever in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine," and this is what I want you to catch, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So David is just starting to shine his light for the Lord. People can see it. He is proclaiming God and showing that God is the true God. Then I want to go back to Saul. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Where we've seen Saul not shedding his light, not letting the light shine through him, but he is about to change. Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 3 through 22. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go that way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou comest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight, forthwith arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So we can see that Saul, which is Paul, was starting to wax. He was starting to shine God's love. He was starting to reflect that light. Now, are you a full moon? Are you on fire for the Lord? Are you fully submitted to Him? You have no hidden sin in your life. You are on full display of God's power, of God's love, and of God's light. And this is by far the most beautiful moon. Nobody goes out and says, Oh, do you see the little sliver of the moon? One way or the other. Everybody says, Did you see the full moon last night? So be this moon. Be that round, beautiful, shining, bright moon. Let's go to Daniel 5. Okay, I was thinking it wasn't right, but I think it is. Daniel chapter 5, verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father's light, and understanding, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made masters of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, and they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the king. And this is where the hand was writing on the wall. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. So here we can see Daniel was being that full moon. He was shining that light brightly in a very dark situation. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Starting at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are that light to the world. Then I want to go back to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this, I would say, is probably pretty much at the peak of Daniel's, or why do I keep saying Daniel? David's reign is probably when he was the brightest. 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 and 3. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Then let's go over to verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, that thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come, and this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant now to know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land. Before thy people, which you redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house, because therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So here, you can see that David was shining his brightest at that time, but we will come back to him later. And let's also go back to Paul in Acts 26. Acts 26, 1 through 3. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And then I think I'll skip that. But here we see Paul, where he was coming from. He was dark. He's starting to shine, but now he is shining his brightest. He is being that full moon. He is showing, he is telling other people about God's love and showing his light. Now, if you aren't a waxing moon, or if you're not a new moon, a waxing moon, or a full moon, are you a waning moon? And I hope none of us find ourselves in this state right now. But I think life has a way of cycles, or I think we find ourselves in maybe all four of these stages at times. I hope never maybe the new moon where we aren't shining any light, but I think we do find ourselves in the waning stages sometimes and in the waxing, but hopefully we're in the full most of the time. But are we starting to lose our fire for God? Are we being bogged down by the cares of this world? Or is the world looking more enticing to us? Or as we heard this morning, like Gary shared, do we think we're something? Do we think we're great? But we're not. To God, we are nothing. And as we saw how David, how he started to shine and how he was shining, we also can see him waning as well. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Second Samuel chapter 11, 1 through 5. And it came to pass after the year was expired, and at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Then go over to verse 22. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us, unto the field, and we were upon them even in the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Then let's also go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, 69. Here's talking about Peter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out unto the porch, and another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So we see David and Peter were not shining the light that God wanted them to be. They were definitely waning. But the good news for both of them is they seen it and repented and went back to the full moon. Then let's go to Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Let's not be like this church. Let us be the full moon and not the waning moon. Now all these I went through have been reflections of God's light and of his love. But for sure, don't be the next one. Do not be the solar eclipse. Are you the moon that gets in the way of God's direct light to the earth or to the world? Are you getting in the way of God's love to the world? You know, sometimes we just simply get in the way of God. Sometimes it's our pride. Sometimes it's our selfish desires, our thoughts, our actions. List could go on and on. Do not be the solar eclipse. Just like the moon has no light source, but is a reflection of the light, so are we. We have no light, but we can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. We are nothing like we heard this morning. I wanted to go to Isaiah 64. I think, if I remember right, Gary had read that this morning as well. Isaiah 64, 6 through 9. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. So in of ourselves, we have no light to shine. We have to be the reflection of that true light. It is only by God's mercy and by God's grace and by God's love that we have a light to reflect. And let's just pray that we can reflect that true light. As Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And this is the key to glorify your Father which is in heaven. It has nothing to do about me. It has nothing to do about you. Nothing about us. Simply to glorify God before men. Shall we stand for a closing prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this day. Just thank you for being the God that you are, a God that loves us, that cares about us. And I just pray that we could be that shining light to those around us that you want us to be. That we would just show God's love to other people, and that we could be the light so people can see you, and that, yeah, so they don't stumble in darkness. So just go with us. Thank you for each one here. I just pray a blessing on each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.